Hey, it's a week seven NFL preview with the Steelers and Bengals, the Eagles and Vikings, and more. Welcome to the Shots into Near NFL podcast from FTN Fantasy for Thursday, October 16th, 2025. I am Aaron Schatz. You know me as that DVOA guy from FTN Fantasy. He is Mike Tenier. You know him from his Substack at miketenier.substack.com. We are brought to you by our friends at Underdog. If your fantasy team is decimated by injuries, Underdog is a great way to get back in the game. Make picks using everything you learned from us on this show, then sweat the games and cash when your picks hit. New customers can play $5 and get up to $100 in bonus funds or entries when they use the promo code FTN to sign up. Terms apply, and as always, play responsibly, and there is a link in the YouTube description of the show. I know we put it in the photo that goes with the show, but how much do you feel like talking about the icy hot bowl between Aaron Rodgers and the 4-1 Steelers against Joe Flacco and the 2-4 Bengals, which I guess is the second time in NFL history that two quarterbacks over the age of 40 have faced each other?
The Liam Neeson trying to climb a fence pole. That's what I'm thinking of it. I got a couple of things. One is Trey Hendrickson is questionable with a back injury, and who knows if his enthusiasm will be to go rushing out there on Thursday Night Football. Also for the Bengals, slot receiver Mike Gesicki and tight end Tanner Hudson are out. Could be a big game for Noah Fant. Keep an eye on that. Or Yeshivas, what's
Yoshivash,
yes. Couple other things here. Keep an eye out for the Bengals. They lead the league seven recipients of DPI penalties. I think a lot of their strategy is going to be throw the ball at Jamar, hope for penalty. Throw the ball at Jamar, hope for penalty. Look for that. Rodgers has only attempted 11 passes of 20 plus air yards this year, but he leads the NFL with a 7.3 yards after catch per completion per FTA.
Oh, it's all short stuff and yards after the catch. That's the whole Steelers offense this year.
It is the whole Steelers offense. I don't know if I'm going to play the Steelers defense anytime touchdown is plus 550. I'm considering playing that. But I think both of these quarterbacks are going to be catch it, throw it, catch it, throw it, catch it, throw it. I don't think there's going to be a lot of sacks tonight.
No, because there's going to be a very short time to throw.
Very short time to throw. So keep an eye out for that. I don't like this 5.5 point line. I'm not playing it.
Yeah, I do think that the sort of dead cat bounce from the new quarterback is over for the Bengals, right? Like, I think my guess is that they'll be back to not being good.
Flacco is playing his second game in 9 days since joining the team. Like, have they done anything except a walkthrough? I think they're doing virtual practices this week. I think they were just doing, you know, glorified walkthroughs. So, like, how much does he actually know? Except,
yeah, he knows to throw back shoulder to Jamar Chase over and over again.
That's over and over again with his fingers crossed. So, yeah.
London, 9:30 a.m. This is the last London, the last Europe game for a while. 4-2 Rams at the 4-2 Jaguars. Rams make the playoffs 84% with a win, 64% with a loss. Jaguars 79% with a win and 58% with a loss. I wrote down the more interesting thing was the Jaguars being sixth rushing and 21st passing against a Rams defense that is better against the pass than the run. Mm-hmm. So we'll have to see about the Jaguars, if they're able to run the ball on the Rams. They're number one in ESPN's run block win rate.
Last week, that running game kind of disappeared when they probably could have used it against the Seahawks. I don't think
late in the game, they weren't getting the runs. They're best running up the middle, by the way. The Rams, though, are susceptible against runs to the right.
Okay.
Yes, as Andrew Daly points out, Puka Nacua is probably out in this game.
Thank you. Big deal. Yeah, he did not practice this week. And Blake Corum did not practice on Wednesday. By the way, they're practicing at Camden Yards this week rather than going from LA.
From all Baltimore. The way to London.
Yeah.
So I also wrote down, what's wrong with Brian Thomas?
Okay.
I checked out the ESPN tracking metrics. Brian Thomas ranks 91 out of 92 ranked players this year.
In What?
In the ESPN tracker metrics that match. Okay. They combine how often you get open, how well you catch the ball, and your yards after.
It's probably just this giant combination of the drop passes, the plays where it looks like there's a miscommunication. There was at least
one. It looks like he hasn't practiced with Lawrence all year.
No, I mean, they've never met. They've never met. They're like A.J. Brown and Jalen Hurts. They can't identify each other. Like there's been a couple of one-foot-in-bounds situations with him. Jaguars per FTN, 17 drop passes. That leads the NFL. Also, Jaguars, second in the NFL with 52 penalties. The Patriots are first. But they're first in offensive penalties. 34 offensive penalties by the Jaguars lead the NFL. So they are what I keep saying they are. When we talk about that self-destructive
sloppy,
the sloppiness, it's there. It's formations and shifts and offsides and holding and drops and things.
Yeah. The Rams are number one against deep passes this year, so good luck with that.
Oh, boy.
With Brian the Jaguars. Thomas. And Stafford is number one in deep passing. He's really? Number one in DYAR on deep passes this year. Yeah, and that's not usually Nacua. That's usually like Devontae Adams or Tutu Atwell or, you know, Ferguson, the new tight end.
That's unusual. I wasn't expecting to hear that.
Andrew Daly says, supposedly Brian Thomas dominated on outbreaking routes last year, and Cohen's offense has him running in-breaking more often. But I don't know if that's really the cause. I think JP Acosta was the person who wrote that and suggested that.
Yeah, that's great, but you have to be able to run both kinds. You have to be able to go two directions and straight. You have to be able to do them all.
I don't know. Michael Allen Brewer says, do drop passes correspond to general quarterback inaccuracy? In other words, are they getting the pass close enough to count as a drop but not to be easily caught? I mean, drops are usually marked as drops when they're drops. Most starting people I know, they take a pretty strict line on drops. Like, if it looks like it was possibly a bad pass, you don't get a drop. Like, you get a drop when it's right in your chest.
Yeah, I'm not sure, though, that if you're going this way and it's back here, how often that's called a drop. Obviously, different sources will give different drops. You're right, they're usually pretty strict about it. The feels tell me there's a miscommunication factor sometimes at work.
Yeah.
Where the ball came late or whatever.
The Rams are favored by 3. And I think even without Puka Nacua, I would favor the Rams in this game. Really? I never know if the Jaguars get a home field advantage from being in London. It really doesn't look at their games like it's any more Jaguars oriented than any other London game. It's a mix of the fans of the two teams and the fans of everybody else.
The fans of the NFL. I'm feeling the Jaguars in part because of Puka. That's a big deal. And I think they might get a bump. There is weather in the forecast, not just because it's London. There's actually London weather in the forecast. Keep an eye on that. And we do have this West Coast team that was in Baltimore for several days of like rainy, cold weather, then going over there. Usually from a point spreading, handicapping, it's hard to tell with that kind of travel weather thing. It's usually not a factor. It looks like it's a potential factor here, especially if we get bad weather Stafford, because Stafford's record in bad weather games is not particularly good.
The best 1 p.m. game, I think, is the Eagles, 4-2 at the Vikings, 3-2. This is the 1 p.m. Eagles, 73% playoffs with a win, 47% with a loss. Vikings, 25% with a win and 8.5% with a loss.
Wow, they're low.
Yeah, they're low. DVOA doesn't like them, and obviously there's a lot of competition in their division.
Yes.
And I think their schedule gets a lot harder.
Mm.
Both defenses are comparatively better against the pass.
Okay.
Especially the Vikings, who are 6th against the pass, but 23rd against the run. So maybe another good Saquon. I mean, early on against the Giants, we were like, oh, he's getting the holes finally.
Yep.
But then that kind of closed up. The Eagles' offensive line is really struggling, only 14th in pass block win rate by ESPN and 23rd in run block win rate.
They may get Landon Dickerson back. They may help a little bit. It's got to be a commitment thing. I think the Vikings allow 4.5 yards per rush. The way to attack Brian Flores' defense that wants to move around and shift and everything is to run directly at it, right at these guys, and to try and get ahead of the sticks. That's going to require a commitment for the Eagles, something they haven't really done much this year.
The Vikings are number one in the league with a 45% blitz rate. That's not a surprise. Hurts is average against the blitz this year. Okay. I talked last week about him being better against man than against zone. And then they went out against the Giants, and against the Giants, it was the opposite.
Okay.
So the difference is now smaller than it was a week ago. That's important because the Vikings play more zone than almost any other defense in the league other than like Dallas.
Right. Right. A couple of notes for the Eagles, especially a big one. Good news, Jalen Carter says he'll play. He's been practicing. Bad news, Quentin Mitchell has been limited. And if Quentin Mitchell is unavailable for the Eagles, Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison will be covered by Adoree Jackson and Kaylee Ringo.
Yeah, I did my coverage DVOA this week through the first six games. And when I first posted it, Ringo and Jackson were missing. And someone said, is there a snap minimum? And I went, oh, yeah, I did 100 snap minimum.
Okay.
And one of them is like 98 and the other one was like 95. When you include them, they're two of the worst corners in the league.
Two of the worst corners. I'm going to say, well, I never actually saw them on the television frame. There's just an open guy, and I don't know who covered it, and it must have been one of them. We're not 100% certain, by the way, who's starting at quarterback for the Vikings. I'm going to ask you, how much of a difference does it make?
I don't think it makes much of a difference. Andrew Daly wants to know if I have Vikings DVOA only in Wentz games. I don't have it handy, but there's very little difference. If there is, if it's better with Wentz, it's only by a little bit. If it's better with McCarthy, it's only by a little bit. I think it's better with Wentz by a slight amount, but it's not very much of a difference.
And the McCarthy sample size is extremely small and contains one horrendous game and one mediocre game.
Right, whereas the Wentz, I mean, you've got whatever this year, three games, but then you've got Wentz, career Wentz.
Yes.
You don't really have career McCarthy to consider.
Yeah, it's this weird combination of whatever you think of McCarthy, he was their starter all through mini camp, training camp, et cetera. And Wentz came on in like August 26th or something like that with all of his baggage and has been out there. And you have to ask the question, well, how much of the playbook does he have? Is he comfortable with that they've already used, that they put on film? I think it's a wash between the two of them right now.
And the Eagles defense is number one against passes up the middle.
Interesting.
So feed Jefferson and Addison on the sides. I mean, especially if it's Quinyon Mitchell.
No Mitchell.
Just feed them on the sides.
If it's no Mitchell, it's going to be ugly, honestly.
But the line is Eagles minus 1.5. Mm-hmm. I'm almost to that point. Like, if Mitchell plays, I would go Eagles, and if he doesn't, I would go Vikings.
That's it. That's where I'm at, too. That's where I'm at. You can cover up for one corner, and you can mix and match the two nitwits against Addison or whatever. You can't cover up both of them.
Right. We talk a lot about the idea that the secondary is a weak link system. You're only as good as your weakest links. What happens when you have two weak links?
When you have, everything but the slot is the weak link, and your other team has two receivers who can work the outside very well.
4 o'clock, the game that most of the country is getting is the 3-3 Commanders at the 2-3-1 Dallas Cowboys. Commanders make the playoffs 65% with a win, only 36% with a loss. They really got hurt by that loss to the Bears. Mm. Cowboys, 31% with a win, 9.5% with a loss. The offenses are basically equal by DVOA, but it's an average Washington defense against a terrible Dallas defense.
Terrible. I'm surprised that the Commanders' offense ranks as high as the Cowboys. The
Mariota offense. Games were better than you think.
They were good. I mean, one of them I remember was very strong, I think, against the Falcons.
And the fumbles last, I mean, they kind of had bad fumble luck against the Bears.
Yeah.
Although that Daniels interception was a late throw that was absolutely his fault.
Late throw, but then you see that was a drive killer in that particular case. You could see they were moving the ball. Two very important individuals coming back or probably coming back. CeeDee Lamb for the Cowboys was limited in practice. He's likely to be coming back. Terry McLaurin was limited in practice. He's probably coming back. But we're not going to get a Dorrance Armstrong revenge game against the Cowboys, or at least we might not. He did not practice with a hammy. He was in and out of the game against the Bears. He's been having a very good season. And Debo at this point is just not practicing, but he'll probably play. And there will not be a Noah Brown revenge game. Everything's a revenge.
Yeah, he went on IR.
He went on IR. Yes.
Armstrong is part of the Washington pass rush that has been much better than expected this year.
Right. Right. Exactly. He's a big part of it. He's you know, like the tone setting veteran of that group.
A couple of receiver weaknesses, if you're interested in DFS. The Commanders are 31st against tight ends.
Okay. Yeah.
And that would be Jason Ferguson. The Cowboys are 29th against wide receiver one, which I'm assuming will be McLaurin. And they're 32nd against other wide receivers. So this might be an interesting play the depth wide receivers on the Redskins, which I guess is Luke McCaffrey.
I guess. I mean, one thing is, doesn't Debo kind of operate like an other receiver?
Yeah, because he's in the slot.
He's the guy getting moved around. They put Jalen Lane on the outside, or they put McCaffrey on the outside. Another note real quick, Kevontae Turbin should be back, all pro return man. Commanders right now lead the NFL 33 yards per kickoff return.
Yes, the Commanders have been really good on kickoff returns, whereas the Cowboys have the clear advantage on field goals.
On field goals, yes, over everybody. This is going to be a field positioning game, and that probably is going to favor the offenses.
The line is Commanders -2. I like the Commanders. Just riding my preseason bandwagon too much, but I do feel like the Commanders are the better team. The defense, the difference in the defenses is just the Cowboys defense is bad in every way.
Right. Right. I'm leaning Commanders. That over is way up at 54.5. You're not going to get any easy overs when the Cowboys play right now with the good offense and the non-defense. So
In fact, if you want to be counterintuitive, play unders and hope that their defense gets better.
Right, right. I'm actually leaning in that direction when we're way up at 54.5 against a team coming off Monday night that might be a little stale.
Another really good 4 p.m. game that is not in much of the country is the 5-1 Colts at the 4-2 Chargers.
Yes.
Colts make the playoffs 95% of the time if they win, 80% with a loss. Chargers are at 77% with a win, 51% with a loss. And you would never believe it from what we talk about with these quarterbacks, but the Colts are the number one offense by DVOA, and the Chargers are number 19.
Well, one of those sounds about right. and in fairness, not to do my meme type of thing, one of these teams is without now three of their offensive
linemen. The Chargers defense, by the way, just to talk about the Colts offense first. The Chargers defense is 8th against the pass, but 26th against the run. So, hi, I'm Jonathan Taylor. Nice to meet you.
Yes, and I'm Quentin Nelson, and I will be blocking for Jonathan Taylor.
Colts are weak pass rushing, but the Chargers are weak pass blocking. You know why? Because all the offensive linemen are injured.
Yes. Let me give you the update on that, by the way. Good news is Khalil Mack was practicing, so the Chargers get an edge rusher back. The bad news is Joe still did not practice. It looks like he's trending to not play this week. Trey Pipkins, the backup, who was out last week, was also a did not practice midweek. So it looks like it's going to be left tackle Austin Hit the Decalus and Bobby Hart at right tackle. Now, I'll give you guys some idea. Against the Dolphins, the Chargers ran a total of 16 plays from a 3 tight end formation. And I think they had like 6 others from 2 tight ends. So they're running a 3 tight end offense. They had 12 rushes and 4 passes in an effort to stack as many people around those tackles as they can so that they can play Gropo ball and then have enough opportunity for Herbert to have extra protection to go over the top. That's not optimal.
When the Alt injury happened, they talked about it being 4 to 6 weeks. So I feel like the fact that every week we have to do this well is all practicing thing is kind of like we knew it was going to be 4 to 6 weeks. Why are we doing this every week? He's not playing.
Harbaugh's trolling us. There's probably some morale thing in his head. No, he's going to stay among us, that kind of thing. But now, well, we're on week 3, right? So it's about to become a moot point.
Yeah, in a week or two, it becomes more realistic to think that he'll be back. Right. Quentin Johnston also is practicing and should be back for the Chargers. But this is one where the DVOA is really strong for the Colts, right? I talk a lot about how you have to include your preseason priors much later into the season than you think you do.
Right, right.
But the Colts in the actual season have been so much better than the Chargers that I feel like the line of Chargers -1.5 is weird.
You're right. you're right. That's like the world's priors to a degree. And as much of a Chargers skeptic as I usually am, I can't advocate a team with this much of a problem on the offensive line as being like, oh, they're going to go out there and, you know, get into a back and forth battle with a team that's playing well. I'm going with the Colts in this one.
Yeah, Andrew Daly points out my preseason priors were also down on the Chargers, but I don't think as much as they were on the Colts.
Yes, we were very down on the Colts. We were
and been proven wrong about the Colts. I mean, at this point, it's been six games. The Colts are playing like this. That's what's going on.
I want to find the guy who's like, I told you so-ing.
I put a thing out there. Please send me a link.
Yes.
And the only response I got was someone saying that there are a couple of Colts reporters who were, you know, optimistic.
Yeah.
Nobody thought Daniel Jones would do this. Nobody thought Daniel Jones would be the most valuable quarterback in football after six games.
Gosh, no. Gosh, no.
So, yeah, I like the Colts plus 1.5.
Same. Or
money line. The night game is the biggest game for the playoff odds so far this year. 3-2 Falcons at 4-2 49ers. Falcons have it's a huge playoff leverage. 58% with a win, 28 with a loss. 49ers are even larger, 66% with a win, 34% with a loss. So that's a difference of 30% for the Falcons and 32% for the 49ers.
I think the simulation sees like a wild card tiebreaker here.
And this is another one where the line doesn't agree with DVOA. Okay. Falcons are 10th right now, and the 49ers are 22nd. And I realized that before the season, we thought the 49ers were much better than the Falcons. But the Falcons' defense has become much better than expected, and the 49ers are, of course, much more injured than expected. And I'm sure we can go through the injury list, and we have to. But it starts with Fred Warner ain't playing.
Mm-hmm.
So their two best defensive players are gone now.
Right. And the discussion around the quarterbacks right now is that Mac and Purdy were both limited in practice, but Purdy is more limited than Mac. So we're talking about zero healthy quarterbacks right now. And it's
Adrian Martinez, man.
Oh, my gosh. My favorite is that they have Curtis Rourke on, like, the practice squad recovering from an ACL tear.
Wow.
They signed a guy who needed ACL surgery and put him on the bench just so he would fit in. So, yeah, you have this team that's 2.5-point favorites, and we're not sure who the quarterback is and if he shows up, how healthy he'll be.
Adrian Martinez, someone's asking who's the third quarterback. Adrian Martinez is the third quarterback.
He was a UFL guy, right?
Yeah, was a UFL guy. The Falcons defense is only 12th against the run. They've been better against the pass than the run, except the 49ers have been only 29th running the ball this year. Like, McCaffrey is not getting the holes and he's not making the yards.
Right, right. I think they're using him more as an all-purpose guy anyway.
It's a good Falcons offensive line against the 49ers, who are 27th in pass rush win rate.
Mm-hmm. You have to watch Jake Matthews was a do not practice on a simulated report. I don't know exactly what the injury is. He's a star left tackle there. His backup was not very good the other night.
The other thing, this will be a surprise. This is something that favors the 49ers. Mac Jones, even though he's only played four games, mm-hmm. I think, leads the NFL in DYAR value on passes up the middle.
Wow.
He's really? Even higher than Goff. Goff is second. And the Falcons are awesome against passes to the sides, but 21st against passes up the middle.
They gave up a big one at the beginning of the game against the Bills, and then everything shut down for the Bills.
And if you flip it around, the 49ers are only 30th against passes up the middle and have no Fred Warner.
That's
but probably, can you name the quarterback in the NFL who throws to the middle of the field the least often?
And it's not Jalen Hurts?
It's not Jalen Hurts. Michael Penix.
It must be Lefty Penix. Well, you know, you got Kyle Pitts in there. You can't not give him the ball, right?
Not give him the ball. I mean, you know, since it's feed Drake London, feed Drake London, feed Drake London, that's the outside.
They also had Darnell Mooney missing for a couple of weeks. Now, he was limited on his return. They benched Ray McCloud on Monday night, which was interesting because you're missing Mooney, and then you bench McCloud. Now, McCloud has been miserable on
kickoff. A lot of Casey Washington.
Yeah, right. And a lot of just, let's just give it to Bijan. Let's just do more Bijan.
Kittle might be back.
Yes.
But it's unsure. There's a lot of unsureness about the 49ers
We don't know who the quarterback is.
Except for defense. Except we know there's no Bosa. We know there's no Warner.
Right.
And I think that that makes the Falcons plus two the way to go.
Yeah, I don't bet on them. But Pearsall looks like he is out. Juwan Jennings is going to be hobbling around out there in a miserable mood.
Yeah, they barely threw to him last week.
He's not – he's like at 30% maybe. And he's like miserable about it. So I don't bet on Falcons games. But and this is the one – this is the reason why. Because I would pick them this time, and I'm not picking
them. And then they'll go out and lose.
And they'll, and yes, they will chump it up. Last week, Monday night was their Super Bowl, and that's it for them for like a month, whatever.
Yeah. All right, that does it for today's show. Hope everybody enjoys week 7 in the NFL. We will be back Monday morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to review all of these games and preview, I think, the last doubleheader. The last Monday night doubleheader, which is a really good, actually, Buccaneers at Lions and Texans at Seahawks.
I hope it's the last doubleheader.
But it's also, you have to stay up. The games are not on simultaneously. Buccaneers at Lions is at 7, and then Texans at Seahawks is at 10.
Yes, it's the Sleepless in Seattle game. And next week, we actually get a break from the London games where, like, on Sunday morning, we could walk the dog and rake the leaves.
Yeah, go grocery shopping and all the other stuff we do before football on Sundays when they don't play in England.
Yes.
All right. Don't forget to like, subscribe to the show, tell your friends about the show. Don't forget to use the FTN Stats Hub where you can find a lot of these stats like the zone and man coverage stuff and the blitz stuff and Mike's Substack, miketanier.substack.com. We will talk to you guys on Monday morning. So long, everyone.